googlegirls.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfucker.
Welcome to the Cogabean, you cock-sucking motherfucking dog shit-ass cunt bitch.
Right now, a historic moment. We can now project the winner of the presidential race. CNN projects Donald Trump wins the presidency.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
Listen. This is so practical. Nothing is practical but this. Throw it out. I don't care what it is. I don't care how much time you put into it. How much money you put up. Throw it out, for heaven's sake. Get rid of the junk so you can start work right.
You better hope somebody wants to be president. You dig what I'm saying? But who in the hell would want to be? Can you conceive of what kind of brain would want to lead these fucking root scoops out there? That, you know, I can't go over and tell this man something until I can tell me something. If I'm right within me, then I can tell him what's right within what I think. But each man has to be right within what he thinks, dig? I can't make another man right. The other man got to be right with himself. In the United States, when you're running the United States, you ain't running nothing but con, nothing but bullshit, and nothing but devil. You're running nothing but demon. The United States of America is the demon of the world. He's the Satan of the world.
You are in a tense situation for one reason alone. I don't care how rude the other person is or how inconsiderate. You are tense because you are still mechanically going along with what was told you, 50 years ago, 10 years ago, and you haven't broken this yet, is to find out how to break this spell. The hopes, the spell, consists of being unhappy. It consists of being afraid of what another human being can do to you.
I'll be elevated, representing with the stars. That's why I write the shit I write in my rap. I'll be elevated, representing with the stars.
I'm just with the gift.
I'll be elevated, representing with the stars. That's why I write the shit I write in my rap. I'll be elevated, representing with the stars. With the stars, 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 with the stars,
with the stars. The stage is Ian Ellis.
Yeah!
Eternal chatter. People are trying to work shit out. Did Leslie really do it? Did she win the championship? If she did, then explain Building 7. I don't think she really did it. It was a false flag operation. Guys, this is classic Illuminati, okay? Really think she stole that championship?
Did I say the name wrong?
Further proof that she's lying about her identity. Changing her name. It's a reptilian. Check her eyelids. Take a picture, make sure she's not shape shifting. Terrible week, you guys. Super sad. And some other comments were really sad, and I was like, I don't want to be any sad anymore. My nana, she had a heart attack. And then my dad died in the emergency room. And my cat died. With long hair. R.I.P. Gizzy. And then Trump got elected. And my wife is on a period. Been a very emotional week. Everybody's parked out. My buddy's like, hey man, you want to come with us? Move to Canada. I was like, it's just a period. She's had one before. We'll get through it. And then she got all mad, and I was like, are you guys serious about that? Said, don't tell my wife. Or at least a week. I'm not saying my bags are packed, but I'm in the car when you're ready to go. Catch it back. It's crazy. I'm getting late. I think all the people on the left should be excited. We finally have a fucking enemy. You know, it used to be cool to be like, fuck the government! But then the government was Obama, and that's like everybody's first black friend. You can't really hold them accountable. Everybody's been in that situation. You got a party, Karen loses her phone. Stupid chick, she's just dropping the couch. But for a second, everybody's like, why did you steal it? So white guilt is. Guys, okay, not being racist is a super recent thing. You know that? People act like it's forever, but my grandpa definitely used the N-word maliciously. That's hilarious. My dad also used it, but it was mostly to tell me how cool Eddie Murphy was. Everybody got real quiet on me because I had like the last racist grandpa. You didn't have a Thanksgiving where he was talking about property values, saying some words that made you uncomfortable. Just my grandpa, he's the last. Okay, white people. Lie to me, you don't lie to yourself. Trump is our goddamn president. Don't you fucking sit here and be holding him down. Real fucking sad in Illinois because we're all Democratic, so I'm not ready to like. Listen, like, you know, if you're in a fight, your options are like fight or flight, okay? Not cry and feel sad about me. Not options, I'll smack you in the damn mouth. You either go, should I get the hell out of here? Or how do I fuck this dude up? You don't feel sorry for yourself. Or, there's a question you gotta ask yourself. Okay, at what point does stuff being stuff that's happening? Very important. Ask yourself. Don't just listen to me say it. Okay. At what point does stuff stop being part of something that's happening? When does shit stop happening? It's like the natural processes where you're like A leads to B leads to C, and then fucking people and angry birds. Okay? Is this part, the natural part of the Big Bang happening? Donald fucking Trump? Is this part of natural processes, or does shit stop happening and something else is happening? I don't know. Is it a mechanical universe? My name's Ian Ellis. I love you.
What is the first principle of the holy doctrine? And Bodhidharma said, vast emptiness and nothing holy. Or in vast emptiness there is nothing holy. So the emperor said, who is it then that stands before us? The implication being, aren't you supposed to be a holy man? And Bodhidharma said, I don't know.
My name is Nobody.
Excuse me?
My name is Xabache. He who talks loud, say nothing.
I thought you said your name was Nobody.
I prefer to be called Nobody.
Tell me in a sentence who you are.
Thank you. boxcar and a jug of wine. And a straight razor if you get too close to me.
You take a sound, any sound, record it, and then change its nature by a multiplicity of operations. You record it at different speeds, you play it backwards, you add it to itself over and over again. You adjust filters, echoes, acoustic qualities. You combine segments of magnetic tape. By these means and many others, you can create sounds which no one has ever heard before.
From this distant vantage point, the Earth might not seem of any particular interest. But for us, it's different. Consider again that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering. Thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines. Every hunter and forager. Every hero and coward. Every creator and destroyer of civilization. Every king and peasant. Every young couple in love. Every mother and father. Hopeful child. Inventor and explorer. Every teacher of morals. Every corrupt politician. Every superstar. Every supreme leader. Every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there.
Guys, give it up for your next comedian, second to last comedian of the night, Mr. Ian Ellis.
That shit was like awkward and weird. No. Shut up. I gotta walk in here, half the goddamn room is gone. Where'd they go? Everybody just came to see the gay dude from the Olive Garden? You could have gone to the Olive Garden for that. You got $5, all the soup and salad you could eat. This shit is great. It's working, that motherfucker. We called it bread dicks. Yo, I need 6 bread dicks for 10 to 7. It's totally different with that dude, because he means it. You want some bread dicks? Seriously, I'll suck your dick in the bathroom. Goes great with Merlot. That's like a deep cut, because you got to really know your wines when you work. You gotta practice your table talk where you walk up and you're like, this is a nice Chianti, and it complements the flavors of the oak, and have it with your spaghetti. It's been a tough week. I'm pretty sure I killed my dad. I don't know how your week is going. Sometimes you lock your keys in your car, and fucking you leave a light on, and you're like, idiots! I killed my father. He was dying. He had terminal stomach cancer. And then he had chemo. He got real weak and real small. And then I got bronchitis or walking pneumonia. You know, the doctor's diagnosis was very vague. I'm going to go with bronchitis because I ate all my antibiotics. And then I had Thanksgiving. It was like last Thanksgiving with my father. Got to be there. Unless I maybe gave him pneumonia. I don't know. That's what he got a couple days later. It's okay, guys. It's my day. When your dad dies, you can make whatever jokes you want. These are the jokes I'm gonna make. Some of them I don't want my family to hear, because I'm kind of like, his last words were, enough, enough. Because he was in so much suffering that he was ready to go. But technically, his last words were like, Oh, that's like super fucking dark, and I don't necessarily want my sister to hear that. I'm gonna take a break and come back to the subject. Everybody's been shitting on straight white males all night. I'm a straight white male. You know what that means? That means I'm the best. to the apex predators of this goddamn planet. We should applaud every time we walk onto a stage. And I was uncomfortable, you know, gay rights, black rights, women's rights. That's just shit we gave you.
Oh, shit.
There's no fucking war. The straight white male has never been defeated. You didn't take us down. It's just a moment where we're like, yeah, I'm kind of being a dick. Let him vote. Here's the thing about Trump that's going to blow your fucking mind, all right? Straight white males. Most slavery of all time. Most genocide of all time. Most just trickery. We're evil. We're the worst villains of history. People still like us more than women. So. Before you get all judgy, you might want to think about what you're doing as a nagging wife.
Oh.
Shut the fuck up and suck that dick a little more. I know it hurts, but it's like Hillary Clinton was like the smartest bitch ever, and they were like, we'd rather have Trump. And how much we fucking hate these hoes. Fuck that bitch. he was in the ICU. It was great because he had like a sense of humor to the end. Like he was still fucking flirting with bitches and he was trying to mac down the nurses. I was like, yeah, there's a catheter in your dick. You can't. At one point, the catheter got clogged with blood, and they're like, usually that doesn't happen. It's so small. I was like, you just say my dad got a little dick? My dad was like, I gotta get up and pee. He just whipped his robe off, and my wife saw his whole dick. I was like, honey, don't look at that. And my dad was like, it's fine, she's family. That's some alpha shit to be like, look at my cock. I had him in the ICU, I'm dying, my dick's all shriveled, still bigger than yours, bitch. I'm still your father, look at my big dick. As he was dying, I was trying to like give him hope. And I was like, all you gotta do is last longer than the cancer. Unless your son gives you pneumonia. I was like, and look at what the fuck you're doing to cancer every day. Just going in there getting chemo. That cancer's sitting in your stomach going, you are a fucking asshole! God damn it, chemo again? Go fuck yourself. And then, you know, the cancer won. I'm gonna end on this, assisted suicide. I am for it. My mother is Christian, conservative, Republican, and as we sat there watching my father take his last breath, we were both just like, there should be a more humane way to do this. My mother was like, I mean, you do put your pets down. And I was like, Mom, are you talking about putting Dad down? And she's like, well, he is suffering, and we did love Buffy. But it's a tough one, because it's like, you know, for whatever moral or philosophical reason, you know, everybody's just like, you just gotta let nature take its process. You gotta let nature do its thing. Nature fucking stinks. Nature is awful, okay? Nature is if you just went outside right now and you had to live in that. Right? It's snowy and it's cold. Fuck nature. Right? My dad died and I got creeped out because I don't like touching a dead body. And I was just like, animals eat dead bodies every day. Fuck nature. These are some savage fucking creatures. I'm a human. I have Angry Birds on my iPhone. Fuck this shit. I have more dignity. Fuck nature. All right. My name's Ian Ellis. I'm here tonight.
Ian Ellis, everybody.
Hands in there. Short haircut. Slouch. Talking to everybody. Up and down the stairs they come, the bartenders of the regular band of Jack and the heavenly drummer who looks up in the sky with blue eyes, with a beard. He's wailing beer caps of bottles and jamming at the cash register and everything is going to the beat. It's the beat generation, it's Bayat. It's the beat to keep, it's the beat of the heart. It's being beat and down in the world and like old time low down. And like in ancient civilizations, the slave boatmen rowing galleys to a beat. And servants spinning pottery to a beat.
Hey Ian, it's Dav. I was just calling to see how you guys made out last night at the comedy, how it went and all that stuff. You're probably maybe still at work or you're home and you're crashed because you've been gone for 4 or 5 days. Love you, just give me a check and a call when you have a chance to. So, bye.
See that star? You mean the bright red one? His daughter asks in return. Yes, you know, it might not be there anymore. It might be gone by now. Exploded or something. Its light is still crossing space, just reaching our eyes now. But we don't see it as it is. We see it as it was. Many people experience a stirring sense of wonder when they first confront this simple truth. Why? Why should it be so compelling? The immense distances to the stars and the galaxies mean that we see everything in space in the past. Some as they were before the Earth came to be. Telescopes are time machines. Long ago, when an early galaxy began to pour light out into the surrounding darkness, no witness could have known that billions of years later, some remote clumps of rock and metal, ice and organic molecules, would fall together to make a place called Earth, or that life would arise and thinking beings evolve, who would one day capture a little of that galactic light and try to puzzle out what had sent it on its way. We can recognize here a shortcoming, in some circumstances serious, in our ability to understand the world. Characteristically, willy-nilly, we seem compelled to project our own nature onto nature. Man, in his arrogance, thinks himself a great work, worthy of the interposition of a deity. Darwin wrote telegraphically in his notebook, more humble, and I think truer, to consider him created from animals. We're Johnny-come-latelys. We live in the cosmic boondocks. We emerged from microbes and muck. Apes are our cousins. Our thoughts and feelings are not fully under our own control. There may be much smarter and very different beings elsewhere. And on top of all this, we're making a mess of our planet and becoming a danger to ourselves. The trapdoor beneath our feet swings open. We find ourselves in bottomless free fall. We are lost in a great darkness, and there's no one to send out a search party. Given so harsh a reality, of course we're tempted to shut our eyes and pretend that we're safe and snug at home, that the fall is only a bad dream. If it takes a little myth and ritual to get us through a night that seems endless, who among us cannot sympathize and understand? We long to be here for a purpose, even though, despite much self-deception, none is evident. The significance of our lives and our fragile planet is then determined only by our own wisdom and courage. We are the custodians of life's meaning. We long for a parent to care for us, to forgive us our errors, to save us from our childish mistakes. But knowledge is preferable to ignorance. Better by far to embrace the hard truth than a reassuring fable. Modern science has been a voyage into the unknown, with a lesson in humility waiting at every stop. Our common sense intuitions can be mistaken. Our preferences don't count. We do not live in a privileged reference frame. If we crave some cosmic purpose, then let us find ourselves a worthy goal.
This guy is funny, he's real cool, he has a really cool hat, looks very happy. Put your hands together. Everybody, put your hands together for the next comedian.
Yeah.
Ian.
Yeah.
Ellis?
Ellis!
Yeah.
Yeah!
One more time for our host.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like Will Smith.
Yeah.
was like Suicide Squad if they did a gap commercial. I'm one of the bad guys. I also like winter fleece. He's handsome. It's okay to laugh. There's a couple here on a date. So, you know, I don't want to.
It's your date.
Jesus.
She's like
that. You're swiping in the right direction.
Definitely not on a date.
Just hanging out. Maybe. Touch. Is there any smooching? I don't need to get that deep.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey guys, there's four of us here. Let's make it as awkward as possible. So what kind of stuff do you not like talking about? I pee a lot. It's terrible when there's only five of us here. Because I'm the one that was peeing during hit Brian's set.
That's funny.
It's not personal. I didn't even know. If this was a cordless mic, I'd be peeing in the middle of my set. 8 minutes is way past my record. That Hulu commercial that had Creed in. What was he talking about? I love boxing movies. Did you see the one about the guy that was the greatest boxer in the world and he was a white guy? That's just hilarious. That was made up. White guy hasn't beat a black dude in like 25 years. Maybe UFC, I don't watch that sport. Paintings. If this is beautiful, it's your friend. I don't know if they're good or not, but your friend definitely has shrooms. So if you can give me a call, you know, I love April and Mary and Gorillas. No, this shit is super dope. I'm not making fun. Date night. I was going to do a joke about date night, but now it's all awkward. Yeah. Did you ask if you're like, is it me or is Buddha calling? Somebody's getting all the text messages. So my dad died last week. It's not going to be sad. I'm going to make fun. It's going to be fun. I'm in the hospital with him. We're in the ICU, and I'm holding his hand, and I watch him take his last breath. Very sad. Yeah, it's dead. It's definitely dead. Because I hear him's cold. It's creepy. I don't want to touch him anymore. But he's dead. And 5 minutes later, the nurse said, so your dad has donated his body to science, and we may be harvesting parts of his body. And I was like, oh, he had cancer and everything. Maybe you don't need to do that. And they're like, no, his eyes are probably still good. I was like, oh, he had cataracts. He was going blind. They're like, oh, they didn't clear that right up. We'll probably just take his eyes. He just died. Can you please not talk about scooping his eyes out with ice cream scoops? Can I have like 5 minutes before I'm finally going to take his eyes out? It's terrible. So now we're planning the funeral. And we go to the funeral home. And we tried to go with the cheapest package possibly available. Because I think these funeral homes are scams. They prey on people. They're vulnerable. They want to do the right thing. They love people. And they're going to charge you for it. They want that money. They're going to make you feel like you're a terrible son. So we went with the cheapest one. It's still $2,200. It's a lot of money. And they're like, so, you know, credit or check? And my mother's like, it'll be check. Does it have to be, you know, right now? Well, it doesn't have to be right now, but it does have to be today. It's like the veterinarian where they're like once they do their service, they know you might just not pay that bill. Because what are they going to do? Are they going to dig them back up? My dad was incinerated. I wish there was payment plans. He just sent me like a teaspoon of his body at a time. I feel like if that was real, like some people would take advantage. They just put the soot in there. trying to get a couple more payments from me. So they're trying to get us to get this urn, they want to put a plaque on it. And it's like, this one is $100, and this one is $1,000, this one is $1,500. I was like, we'll only see it for like an hour, right? And then it's gone forever? I have a Sharpie. And my sister was like, fuck that, I got a knife. It's made out of wood, I'm carving dead in that motherfucker. And then my wife looked at my mother, and she was like, are you sure you want your kids here? Because they seem like jackals. I don't think they're taking this seriously enough. My dad, he had cancer. Which, by the way, the pre-made one, but he was so small, Dan, you could probably just fold him up and stick him in there. We probably could make that work. I don't know if fire has to be involved. He was getting so skinny toward the end, and he felt bad about it. And I was like, Dad, next time I see you, you're going to be wearing my nephew's clothes. But 60 years old and some fresh-ass toddler clothes, you're going to look great. You're the dumbest dude in chemo. The SpongeBob hoodie he has, you're going to be killing it, Dad. Smash your mad puss. So we went to get the bill, and they're going through all the things that are like included in the package. And they're like, all right, package. It's like, but this one thing, that's considered merch. So there's tax on that. It's like, there's merch at the funeral parlor? This doesn't seem like the place to put shit up. One of the things they had to negotiate was the website. Where they were like, so we'll be making a website for your father, and you know, there's the basic package, and the extreme package, and the live notification, and it comes with an app package. And I was like, he's dead, it's not a social media event. How about just a regular obituary? How much is that? I don't need the full Facebook coverage. I swear to God, they would have made his body a Wi-Fi hotspot if they could. If it's $200 more, we'll make sure that your father is a hotspot for the next 25 years. My dad, at the end, he started being delusional. He was saying some funny, weird shit. So it's like, sometimes it's like talking to a regular person, and sometimes it's like talking to somebody that, like talking in their sleep. And like, at one point, he looked at my mom very seriously, and he was like, I have a helicopter. All we need is a Halloween mask. I don't know what the fuck that means, but I'm going to go have a smoke break. This is a weird way to spend our last moments, Dad. He looked at me, he was like, we have to take the horses. I said, where are we taking the horses, Dad? He said, California! At some point, for no goddamn reason, he just popped up and gave two peace signs. I said, what the fuck is going on in your head? The doctors were like, do you need anything? And I was like, yeah, the drugs that he's on. He's having a great goddamn time. This is super sad for me. What the fuck? He kept talking about how his teeth were tingling. I was like, did you give him Molly? I better not show him my goddamn medical bill. Cocaine and Adderall. God damn it, Dad. They're like, focus up. Out in China, you know, they're super weird. They make real sex. Like, they have panties and a vending machine. It's a great idea. Bottom row is all different kinds of tampons. I hope they don't sell the used ones. It's so gross. They have the tiniest noses and they're into sniffing stuff. Sniffing nose. Hey, man. You know what all Asian people look like? They're wearing Lego people. Short, the yellow, and always building shit. Everything is awesome! China. China. So it's like real sex doll. Like if you can't get no pussy, you know, you can just like buy a plastic bitch. A giant Barbie. It's a giant Barbie doll. But some weirdo decided to start making them for pedophiles. We're making them for kids. And I was like, that better be online because I can't imagine the Build-A-Bear. And you show up looking for your sexy kid. What poor mother with like an autistic kid walks in there and is like, he just needs to feel like he has a brother. And there's some pedophile looking at her son. And just ordering the same thing. With a red hoodie and some short shorts. Yeah. Do you have one? What are you like? Can I have some rosy? What color is eyes? Is that hazel? What color? Can I get a pink swatch next to this young child's eyes? You got any childhood? You got any family photos of it? You know, for my doll. For my doll that I'm definitely not gonna fuck. If I can have access to your ancestry.com, I just wanna know a little bit more about you. For my call. I'm definitely not gonna fuck with my name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night. Yeah. Yeah. Good for Ian, guys. That was freaking hilarious, man. Yeah.
Rosie Shemetsky, everybody. I just learned what a bralette is. Rosie also has the firmest handshake of any comedian.
I know! I'm so proud of it!
You should be. I would not expect such a firm handshake from somebody that wears bralettes, which I just learned what that is. So anyway, let's get some applause going for your next comedian coming up to the stage. Very funny, Mr. Ian Ellis.
Guys, I'm super tired, and I smell like weed. So this might end up being a really weird show. The good news is my wife says I talk in my sleep, and then I'm super hilarious. So if I start nodding off, that means this shit is about to be great. I've been trying to do comedy for 8 years. She's never laughed at my jokes like she laughed at me talking in my sleep. I was like, who knew I'm a NyQuil habit away from being the comedian I always wanted to be? Taking all this time to learn how to write jokes and stuff. I just need to be a junkie for NyQuil. One more time for Rosie. Let's give it up for her. She got her second tattoo, but went to her regular artist.
I text her, we're friends.
How do you have a regular artist at number two? I'll tell you a story to make you feel not so bad about being naked at the tattoo shop. Just like totally tricked you. So you didn't have to be naked. Come on. My wife does that shit that she does where like she wears like leggings and a short dress, and I'm like, that's not appropriate. She's like, it's leggings, it's like pants. I'm like, no, I can see your whole butt. Stop. You know what you're doing. Here's my story for Rosie. In college I was a new nude model. How I got my beer money is I took my clothes off. I'm not that attractive, but I'm a dynamic human being. I was the most requested naked artist because I would take my fat butt and I would do Spider-Man poses. Like, how do you want to stand for the next 45 minutes? And I'd be like, I've always felt bad for the people drawing the back of me. Spider-Man has a dirty asshole. Dude, the craziest thing is one time I got recognized from a naked picture. Like, dude, do you nude model? Because I think I saw your penis in the study hall. Well, here's my story from Rosie, okay? I got engaged in college, partied all night, drank, turned down for what? And the next day I took my clothes off for money. I was extremely tired and I smelled like weed. And they had me do a pose where I laid down and I fell asleep. I don't know if I was talking in my sleep, but at some point I was definitely tooting. Fun fact, my farts smell like dinner. You suddenly smell chicken and waffles. Don't get too excited. You're sniffing toots. Be happy as me. I smell somebody else's toot in the back of the room. I was like, you're an asshole. Anyway, I was laying there naked, sleeping. And then I was awakened by the sound of my own fart. Oh shit, I'm naked in a room full of people. I figured
figure that's as embarrassing as it gets. So, you know, you can feel pretty good about being tricked by tattoo artists. We got guys in the front row here. This is great. How are you? You're nervous. Like, you shouldn't sit in the front unless you want to be... Like, you have a scrunchie and a jean jacket. So I assume you're either the Pink Power Ranger. Or, like, Napoleon Dynamite is your boyfriend. This is great. There's 5 women and 1 dude. She raised her hand for him. This is my penis. Don't even seduce him with your naked tootin'. This belongs to the rest of you. There might be some single fellers. That's comedy for you. He's weird because you've got like an Arab Mexican face. I assume you're a white dude, but it's like... You shouldn't be a white dude that doesn't know how to have a face. half ISIS, half America? Do you want to... You really want to admit that shit in Trump's America? You get his ass deported! A lot of people have been like shitting on religion all night. How many people around applause believe in God? You wouldn't know it from watching comedy. The only one was the Muslim. Everybody else likes science. That's like the way of the world. But it's crazy because she's like Muslim, but she has a Hindu husband, but she had a traditional wedding. What the fuck does that wedding look like? Is this 7,600 Indian people or ISIS meeting? Okay. Oh, you're Mexicans. God damn it. Tricky bitch. You can't be nice to Muslims, okay? 9/11 is the reason I can call her a tricky bitch. It's not about her ovaries. Stop defending people that will wear a bomb. Didn't you hear Brad Stupak's set? I'm running over my time, but I just wanted to say really quickly. Like, there's a lot of young people here. Is this millennials?
Yeah.
I just want you to know your entire generation stinks. I don't know if you know what it's like to have a conversation with you, but it's fucking insufferable. The generation of Lisa Simpsons, which is the last Simpson anybody would fucking hang out with. My name's Ian Ellis, so that'll be good night.
Everybody. Thank you. I am like 90% sure everyone clapping at that were millennials. We just hate ourselves, or really? Hate ourselves that much? Damn. That's true, we suck. Thank you. We're not that bad.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Two of us aren't that bad. The rest of you apparently hate yourselves.
Typical.
That's fine. Thank you for leaving us on that depressing note. Ian Ellis, everybody. Making us realize if anybody needs another drink.
This video is going to include discussions about racism. And because I am white, none of these thoughts about racism in this video are my original thought.
Hey, fellow white guys.
It's about to be a new year.
And there's a few things we think you could do a little bit better in 2017.
Everybody's been shitting on straight white males all night. I'm a straight white male. You know what that means? That means I'm the best. The apex predators of this goddamn planet. We should applaud every time we walk onto a stage. And it was uncomfortable, but, you know, gay rights, black rights, women's rights. That's just shit we gave you.
Oh, shit.
There's no fucking war. The straight white male has never been defeated. You didn't take us down. It's just a moment where we're like, yeah, I'm kind of being a dick. Let him go. here's the thing about Trump that's gonna blow your fucking mind, alright? Straight white males. Most slavery of all time. Most genocide of all time. Most just trickery. We're evil. We're the worst villains of history. People still like us more than women, so. Before you get all judgy, you might want to think about what you're doing as a nagging wife.
Oh.
Or shut the fuck up and suck that dick a little more. I know it hurts, but it's like Hillary Clinton was like the smartest bitch ever, and they were like, we'd rather have Trump. And how much we fucking hate these hoes. Fuck that bitch.
First off, try to recognize that America was never great for anyone who wasn't a white guy.
Can we all just agree that Black Lives Matter isn't the opposite of All Lives Matter? Black lives just matter. There's no need to overcomplicate it.
Also, Blue Lives Matter isn't a thing.
Cops weren't born with blue skin, right? I mean, yeah, they weren't born blue.
Stop bragging about being woke. Stop saying woke.
Learn what mansplaining is, and then stop doing it.
Oh, and if you're a judge, don't prioritize the well-being of an Ivy League athlete over the woman he assaulted.
We all love Beyonce, and yeah, she's black, so of course she cares about black issues. I'm talking to you, Fox News.
Feel free to take Kanye West, though. You guys can have him.
You know what you did, Kanye. Nobody who has black friends says that they have black friends.
And just because you have black friends doesn't mean you're not racist. You can be racist with black friends.
Look, guys, we know nobody's perfect.
But honestly, you could do a little better in 2017.
Some of you guys do a great job. Some of you don't.
Please, because 2016 is bad. 2017 can't be worse than this, all right? Because this is bad.
Woke up this morning. You got yourself.
Good morning, easily offended millennials.
What's the millennial question?
Apparently, millennials as a generation, which is a group of people who were born approximately 1984 and after, are tough to manage. And they're accused of being entitled and narcissistic and self-interested, unfocused, lazy.
All white people are racist. All men are misogynistic. All cisgender people are transphobic. All members of a majority are biased against the members of the minority or oppressed group. In fact, most people are racist, misogynistic, transphobic, ableist, etc. I am racist, classist, ableist, and I probably contribute to many other systems of marginalization that I am not aware of.
But entitled is the big one. And because they confound leadership so much, what's happening is leaders are asking the millennials, what do you want? And millennials are saying, we want to work in a place with purpose, love that. We want to make an impact, you know, whatever that means. We want free food and beanbags. And so somebody articulates some sort of purpose, there's lots of free food and there's beanbags, and yet for some reason they're still not happy. And that's because they're missing. There's a missing piece. What I've learned is that I can break it down into four pieces. Right? There are four things, four characteristics. One is parenting. The other one is technology. The third is impatience, and the fourth is environment. The generation that we call the millennials, too many of them grew up subject to, not my words, failed parenting strategies. You know. Where, for example, they were told that they were special all the time. They were told that they could have anything they want in life just because they want it. Right? They were told, some of them got into honors classes not because they deserved it, but because their parents complained. And some of them got A's not because they earned them, but because the teachers didn't want to deal with the parents. Some kids got participation medals. They got a medal for coming in last. Right, which the science we know is pretty clear, which is it devalues the medal and the reward for those who actually work hard, and it actually makes the person who comes in last feel embarrassed because they know they didn't deserve it, so it actually makes them feel worse. Right? So you take this group of people, and they graduate school, and they get a job, and they're thrust into the real world, and in an instant, they find out they're not special, their moms can't get them a promotion, that you get nothing for coming in last, and by the way, you can't just have it because you want it. Right? And in an instant, their entire self-image is shattered. And so you have an entire generation that's growing up with lower self-esteem than previous generations. The other problem, to compound it, is we're growing up in a Facebook, Instagram world. In other words, we're good at putting filters on things. We're good at showing people that life is amazing even though I'm depressed, right? And so everybody sounds tough, and everybody sounds like they got it all figured out. And the reality is there's very little toughness, and most people don't have it figured out.
The problem is, I think postmodernism has, to a large extent, run its course.
Postmodernism is a very wide-ranging term used to analyze our world that emerged in the 1950s and 60s. It rejected the grand narratives that exist in modernism, things like there is one true God, history is progress, and peace on earth. In postmodern thought, there is no scientific, philosophical, or religious truth which will explain everything for everybody. It lacks that optimism. Instead, everything is understood on a micro level. Knowledge and truth are contextual and constructed. Reality only comes into existence through our interpretations of what the world means to us individually. Thus, postmodernism is characterized by self-referentiality, such as a character who knows they're a character in a novel or film, by moral relativism, and by cynicism and irony.
And the same with radio or any other medium. What you print is nothing compared to the effect of the printed word. The printed word sets up a paradigm, a structure of awareness which affects everybody in very, very drastic ways, and it doesn't very much matter what you print as long as you go on with that form of activity.
Postmodern thought, with its deconstruction of everything and its emphasis on individual interpretation, leads us down a road of narcissism, cynicism, and detachment.
The literate man can stand back objectively and look at situations. The TV person has no objectivity at all.
But does television, say, promote illiteracy, or doesn't it?
It tends to create a totally different kind of awareness.
For a book, a big book means the reader is going to have to spend a long time reading it, which means your burden of proof goes up.
Literacy is objective. TV is subjective, totally involving.
Social networks run the attention economy. They need you on their site constantly to succeed as a business, to click and see ads. They need your attention to keep this revenue loop open.
And the problem, though, is now is that a lot of the shticks of postmodernism, irony, cynicism, irreverence, are now part of whatever it is that's enervating in the culture itself, right? Burger King now sells hamburgers with "you gotta break the rules."
Fucking Santa Claus, like, all my favorite heroes always had facial hair. So anyway, I'm really pissed about it. But let's get some excitement going for your next comedian. Let's not dwell on that, okay? All right. Please welcome to the stage, Ian Ellis.
John Dean is biblioteca. I figure Spanish people are taking the jobs that we don't want, like being an audience member. You got the 1% in the back, and then just a scatter of poor-looking white people. He has a super serious look on his face. Are you okay?
Pilot?
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be serious.
Okay, I thought you were a serial killer. Nobody's missing right now, right? I had a really dark thought one day where I was like, you know, I saw somebody coming out of Sam's Club, and they just had a whole bunch of water and toilet paper and a lamp. And I was like, they definitely have women tied up in a basement somewhere. And a bunch of diapers. What else are you going to use diapers for? I don't have time to hose off you women. Take some diapers. That's like the inconsiderate kidnapper. You want shit to make, and also clean up after yourself. Anyway, I was just like, it better not be anybody that I know goes missing in the next 24 hours, or I'm going to, like, track this dude down. And then I thought, like, if that did happen, and I broke in, I killed the guy, and I got down there to rescue the women, I don't know if I'd let them all go, or if I'd maybe just, like, inspect the merch. Maybe keep, like, one of them for myself. I'm still a hero. I let all the other people go. It'd be so bad if I kept his one. clean one. I just died on the way here. And I was like, is my life working out? I know why I'm here. I don't know why anybody else would show up to this shit. I don't know how you tell if your life is working out, because I see some people and they just look goofy. If I had all the things but I looked like you, I wouldn't be happy. So. I wonder if there's peace in this world for everyone or just the gorgeous people. Maybe the rest of us are just miserable. Millennials are fucking depressed. Did you guys know that shit?
Yeah.
They're the most depressed generation. More than the people that fought Nazis. I think that probably takes something out of my psyche. It's because they grew up in this world where, like, with social media, you publicly post how happy you are, but inwardly you're depressed. And they're very idealistic and want purpose and meaning. And then they get real jobs. And they don't know how to handle that shit. Like, I don't want to do this. There's no dignity. Nobody's paying you to have dignity. Self-respect is not part of having a job. Now shut up and clean up that puke. It's hard when you think you're special. Go clean up aisle two. Stupid. Yesterday was my dad's birthday. My dad died like 3 weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago. And at the eulogy, I used a metaphor from Carl Sagan where I said, like, I think of the star. You know, it's no longer there, but we still see it because the light of that star is just reaching us. When I think of dead people and my father, I think, like, he's no longer there anymore, but the light of his life is still reaching us. It's very important to me. I still feel like it's important. He loved my dad. They were besties. But yeah, I had this very romantic way of thinking about it. Like, he's always there with me. Like, I talk with my hands like he talked with his hands. And I feel like he was there. And then I got to the point where I wanted to jerk off for the first time. Post having a dad that's still alive. I was like, I kind of hope you're not around right now. Ring a bell or... or go spend some time with mom. Outside, I saw Ballerina come out, and it's all snowy. I was like, I wonder if she slips. Will she fall gracefully? I'm going to end with this, because Mark brought up Harambee, and he made me think. I was like, how the fuck did a kid get in there, but a gorilla couldn't climb out? Aren't they supposed to be super good at climbing? He was a fucking retarded gorilla. I'm glad they shot him. My name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night.
We're just living for that quick burst of dopamine that comes from liking, swiping, and refreshing. Any feeling of banality or loneliness is quickly replaced by picking up a device. Or, as Louis C.K. says,
you never feel completely sad or completely happy. You
right.
just feel kind of satisfied with your product.
Yes.
And then you die.
So it's the combination of these two powerful forces, the attention getters and the attention engineers, that can be extremely dangerous. The dystopian visions of two of the world's greatest thinkers, George Orwell and Aldous Huxley, I think describe this point fairly well. What Orwell feared were those who would ban books. What Huxley feared was that there would be no reason to ban a book, for there would be no one who would want to read one. Orwell feared those who would deprive us of information. Huxley feared those who would give us so much that we would be reduced to passivity and egotism. Orwell feared the truth would be concealed from us. Huxley feared the truth would be drowned in a sea of irrelevance.
There was this way in which I all of a sudden realized that the point of being postmodern or being avant-garde or whatever wasn't to follow in a certain kind of tradition, that all that stuff is BS imposed by critics and camp followers afterwards, that what the really great artists do, and it sounds very trite to say it out loud, but what the really great artists do is they're entirely themselves. They're entirely themselves, they've got their own vision, their own way of fracturing reality, and that if it's authentic and true, you will feel it in your nerve endings.
On June 17, 1994, O.J. Simpson became the most famous fugitive on the planet.
Bizarre happenings in Los Angeles, and it all began with charges laid by L.A. police against O.J. Simpson.
A nationwide manhunt is on.
Calling all cars, calling all cars. This is the Chief. Be on the lookout for the following mugs.
If you can solve the mystery, you could win the prize of a lifetime. A chance to be animated with The Simpsons. Every time you complete a 1-800-COLLECT call, you and the person you call are automatically entered.
Highway Patrol.
Yeah, I think I just saw O.J. Simpson on the 5 freeway. He's heading north.
911, what are you reporting?
This is AC. I have OJ in the car.
Okay, where are you?
Please, I'm coming up the 5 freeway.
Okay.
Right now, we're okay, but you gotta tell the police to just back off. He's still alive, and he's got a gun to his head.
Keep watching Fox for clues, and don't miss The Simpsons season premiere on September 17th to find out who done it and to see if you're a winner.
Hey guys, let's give it up for your next comedian coming up to the stage, the very funny Mr. Ian Ellis.
Is it Bring Your Grandpa to Comedy Night? That dude had cum stains on his sweater and grass stains on his pants. I don't know if it was a performance or if we need to call somebody. He might be missing. This is a solvable case. Let's get that grandpa home. He's off his meds and kids care about him. Christmas won't be the same if we don't get him back. Keep it past midnight, he turns into a gremlin. That other guy, Phil, I mean, way better than, you know, an office shooting. All right, that's awkward. I just want all of you to be here to hear a list of people I want to get rid of. Mark too close to me? Have I showed you my gun yet? Scary shit. Before I came here, I was watching The People vs. O.J. Simpson on Netflix. You guys excited about O.J.? After watching that and reviewing his Wikipedia, I can tell you O.J. is terrible at crime. This is not for him. He lived his life like an episode of Grand Theft Auto. Like, I'm pretty sure he thinks when we acquitted him of one crime, he was just acquitted of crime. And just went on a... He was arrested for speeding through a manatee zone. Was he looking for the real killer? Heard about what happened to Steve Irwin? Manatee got hands big as mine. I bet they killed Nicole. Kato, get the Bronco. OJ stinks. Didn't pay his taxes. Classic rich black dude mistake. Here's how the industry works. You go from paying dues to paying Jews. That's it. Otherwise, you make too much money, and for some reason, that's against the law. Your money belongs to us. Here's my earliest memory of OJ. 1994. It's an important year in my life, because that's the year that Mr. Burns got shot. I spent the entire summer trying to solve that case. There was strings, there was a board, I was taking clues, having meetings, because this is my chance to show my classmates that I'm Batman, and that I'm going to be animated on The Simpsons. 3 months goes by. Part two, we find out who did it. My broadcast was interrupted by OJ News. I said, he killed Mr. Burns? I know he's a Simpson, but he wasn't even in the last episode. It took me 10 years to see the second part of that goddamn episode. One of the biggest moments of my life. Foiled by OJ. The person I feel the worst for, the real victim, was Rob Kardashian. His wife left him for Bruce Jenner. Who's now Caitlyn Jenner, the most famous transgender person on the planet and woman of the year. His best friend to help him get through it is O.J. Simpson. Godfather to his child. Most notorious murderer in human history. Or maybe just American recent history. His daughter, Kim Kardashian, had a sex tape. Became the biggest pop celebrity star of all time. Married to Kanye West. Biggest pop star of all time. He's a regular dude. Went to school, got a job, made some money. Everybody in his life is batshit crazy and fucking famous for it. I'd have blown my brains out. Thank God he got cancer. Oh, too much to live through. Refugees, that's in the news a lot right now. I have 2 points about that. All right. On the one hand, you got to be careful, because if shit goes wrong here, there's no place for us to refugee to. Okay? This is it. Your Instagram's not going to be cool living in a rice field. On the other side, all the people that are like, fuck these refugees. You got to realize there's a lot of single men in this country. And those women have been subjugated for years. And you got to consider the good refugee pussy that we are turning away. If you have running water and don't mind them reading, you might be a catch. Genital mutilation or a dude that gets jealous and wants to watch football? Better over here. My name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night.
Ian Ellis, everybody. I watch the nigga whole TV show and still don't give a fuck about OJ. And don't go out like OJ. Beat a murderer, went to jail for some football cards. I can't go out like OJ.
I got a 405 OJ jokes. 22 years after it was relevant. This guy's a real hack. We're going to have to take him down comedy school. Pull over. Pull over. Sir, this is the comedy police. Please turn off your vehicle. You're being pulled over for OJ jokes. Please. Please, sir, get out of the vehicle.
Okay, so the last thing I want to ask you about is when you did Talking Funny with Jerry and Louie and
Ricky.
And Gervais. Or Gervais. Whatever. I don't know how people do it. There was the funniest moment in there when I was watching it where Ricky Gervais was a baby comic, like was having like a squeaky, squeaky baby comic moment. And I wondered if that was how you felt about him when you were having the conversation. It was about him insisting that certain things weren't funny. Do you remember that part of the conversation?
Ugh. There's this new thing of winning is more important than being right.
Right.
And it started with social media, and it started with political correctness, where people now believe... They quite rightly believe their opinion is worth as much as someone else's opinion. Mm.
Yeah. Quite rightly, you just said to be
well,
quiet.
Some people are idiots. Like, let's be honest. Yeah. No, but even if your opinion is worth as much as someone else's opinion, people now think their opinion is worth as much as other people's facts.
Right.
And it's the world gone crazy. The alternative facts. What? We used to call them lies.
Yeah.
What do you mean alternative facts?
Right, right.
I mean, there was definitely a part of the conversation where, you know, me and Jerry and Louie and, you know, a lot more experience.
Accumulated to like 70 years of stand-up experience.
Like,
the three of you.
Yeah.
And Ricky has like 7.
Yeah.
And he just had the, I just wondered, because to me, I was like, the next day, one of my friends was like, did you see Ricky? I was like, being a baby comic. I was like, it was such a fucking baby comic right there. And he was like, no, that's not funny. And it was something about farts. Something really stupid. It was just interesting to me, like in that conversation, if you reacted in that way, and if you, when you look back at who you were when you were a baby comic, if your sense of what's funny and what's not.
Oh, I was really young. You're like a born again comic.
Right, right.
I know people that they want to be accepted in the group, and they take on the role of idiot. To be accepted in the group, they take on the role of whipping boy.
Right.
You know, they take on
right.
the boy, the role of anything. How many times, a kid in school? There was a kid who was in the gang because he'd eat vomit for peanuts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to
yeah.
go? Why are you doing that? And now society's like that. Now people do anything. People live their life like an open wound to be famous. In the last 15 years, I thought The Office was the peak of it. Was the peak of sort of normal people being narcissistic and wanting to be famous. It wasn't. Now we look back on those as sort of quainter times. And so
yeah.
in the movie, David Brent is sort of outranked by the new narcissist, by these people who get on The Apprentice by saying, I would destroy anyone who stands in my way. There's a new alpha male, there's a new cruelty, there's a new... Do you know what I mean?
Well, the idea of celebrity is different, too. It's like, because celebrities are less impressive, because people get on YouTube and they do funny shit or they do crazy shit. You're
yeah.
like, what makes you interesting?
Well,
what are you doing?
Well, and they know that. And there's this unwritten sort of contract where people... Even documentary is more demanding and intrusive now, you know. We wouldn't have heard about David Brent's breakdown in the office. It was a politer time. But now documentaries say, well, you better show us your lowest ebb or you won't get on. It will soon we'll have shows like Celebrity Enema. You know what I mean? Where, but it's sad because they're just looking for something else. They're just looking for acceptance. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Are you more rigorous or less rigorous about what you think is meaningful?
Way less rigorous now. Mm-hmm. Way more accepting of everybody.
Yeah.
No beef with everybody. See the good in every comedian. Used to hate everybody.
Right.
Now I'm just, Carrot Top's great.
Yeah, and losers must be punished and squashed these days. Do you know what I mean?
There's what the band does.
It's been sold the lie, like we all have for the last 15 years, that, you know, just if you beg to be famous, someone will go, all right then. All these talent shows, you know? And,
yeah.
And it's sort of, it's not chastised anymore. But the thing is, I think the important thing is it's how the world's changed. We watch these sort of reality shows where, and, you know, competitions where people bordering on mentally ill are wheeled out to be sniggered at by millionaires. Mm-hmm. And we're culpable.
It's entertaining.
Yeah.
It is really. Yeah. But it is like the Victorian Freak Show. It's just packaged differently now. And so it is about that. It is about fame, probably more explicitly than The Office. But it is about a man who needs a bit of, he needs a hug.
Pop star.
I did want to be a pop star, and that was my mistake. I was 20 and I should have been wanting to be a musician. Do I pander to the 200 egos in the room or the 200 million people watching around the globe? No contest.
Right.
The people at home aren't winning awards. They're not millionaires, right? So what's in it for them? Well, it should be entertaining. So winning awards is not a spectator sport. I tried to make it one. And let's get it in context. They weren't a room full of wounded soldiers.
Yeah.
I was teasing them about their public behaviour.
Yeah.
I didn't, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like what Mel Gibson did. He did this, and he's going, oh God, how did that get out? I love Braveheart. I think he's a great director.
Yeah.
That wasn't the target of my jokes. But then also, target's a strong word. What did I say? I teased him.
Yes.
I teased him about saying something that when he was drunk, you know, it's like, you know, it was no big deal.
But no one
wants to be the butt of a joke. No one wants to be the butt of a joke, because I understand that, and it's, but yeah, I don't know, I don't think I said anything that bad. Again, I think it often came from people mistaking the target of the joke with the subject of the joke. I justify every single thing. I don't go out there and try and ruin their day. I don't think comedy is your conscience taking a day off. I can justify every single joke, but it just gets boring. Why do I have to defend it? I want to start saying, so, do you think that joke was all right? I go, no, it was awful. It's terrible. It's put me in jail.
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah.
You know, but I do want to explain it because there is a point to them. You know, I think there is often a point.
Well, you shouldn't have to explain it to people in show business. Like, they understand what, I mean, they're all playing murderers or playing other people, and like, why is that okay? But if you make fun of them, they're like, well, you don't get it.
Well, it's funny as well, because journalists say, is there anything you won't make a joke about? And I go, no. Is there anything you wouldn't write about? No. It depends what you're saying. It depends what the joke is. You know, and I think people often can't see through that it's okay to joke about anything. It depends what the joke is.
Coleridge made a very handy observation some years ago. He said, always start with the other man's ignorance. You can quickly then acquire his knowledge. Now, for example, this matter of the invisible environment, that every technology creates a new environment that is invisible to the users thereof. Once you can speak and use signs that are not representational of anything present, but of things long past or things far away, then you have command over time and space.
I believe that magic is art, and that art, whether that be writing, music, sculpture, or any other form, is literally magic.
So the extensions of man, in this sense, create environments of many, many dimensions, all of which tend to be concealed from us.
A grimoire, for example, the Book of Spells, is simply a fancy way of saying grammar. Indeed, to cast a spell is simply to spell, to manipulate words, to change people's consciousness. And I believe that this is why an artist or writer is the closest thing in the contemporary world that you are likely to see to a shaman.
Speech as communication gives you a huge time, space, power. We call it tradition.
I believe that all culture must have arisen from cult. Originally, all of the facets of our culture, whether they be in the arts or the sciences, were the province of the shaman.
If we say that a religion is a combination of creed, code, and cult, the creed is the revelation, a revealed symbolism of what the universe is about, and you are commanded to believe in it on the divine authority. The code is the revealed will of God for man, which you are commanded to obey, and the cult is the divinely revealed form of worship which you must practice. Commandment, because God is boss, he's ruler, king of kings and lord of lords.
In latter times, I think that artists and writers have allowed themselves to be sold down the river. They have accepted the prevailing belief that art and writing are merely forms of entertainment. They're not seen as transformative forces that can change a human being, that can change a society.
In the electric age, however, we have access to all pasts and all times and all speeches, all languages at such speed that the pattern of them becomes very plain and simple.
See, this is the current movement in philosophy. Logical analysis says you mustn't think about existence. It's a meaningless concept. Therefore, philosophy has become the discussion of trivia. And philosophical journals is now as satisfactorily dull as any other kind of purely technical inquiry. No good philosopher lies awake nights worrying about the destiny of man and the nature of God and the all that sort of thing, because a philosopher today is a practical fellow who comes to the university with a briefcase at 9 and leaves at 5. He does philosophy during the day, which is discussing whether certain sentences have meaning and if so, what. And then he would, as William Earle said in a very funny essay, he would come to work in a white coat if he thought he could get away with it.
The fact that in present times this magical power has degenerated to the level of cheap entertainment and manipulation is, I think, a tragedy. At the moment, the people who are using shamanism and magic to shape our culture are advertisers. Rather than trying to wake people up, their shamanism is used as an opiate to tranquilize people, to make people more manipulable. Their magic box of television, and by their magic words, their jingles, can cause everybody in the country to be thinking the same words and have the same banal thoughts all at exactly the same moment.
Guys, you ready for your next comic? Guys, keep it going nice and loud. This guy's a favorite guy of mine. Give it up for Ian Ellis!
Hey,
I feel like you were mean to that last comedian audience. You don't give awkward silence to a guy wearing a shooter vest. He might come back and not to tell jokes. You're fucking nicer to him. There's like politics going on. That shit's a bother. My thing is like I don't have time. Okay? Like some people are like, hey, you should get into football. Go fuck yourself. There's teams and players and stat. It's a homework assignment. I'm too old to get into this shit. Like you either grow up into it or you don't. And I missed out on football because nobody explained it to me as a child. And now politics is going on, and it's only two teams, but there's a lot of fucking players in this shit. I don't have time to learn their fucking dumb names. I didn't know what the vice president looked like until the inaugural address. Like, holy shit, that's a white dude. The whitest white dude I've ever seen. Did they get him? They got him off of Mad Men? There's all this shit going on, and it matters, and I feel like I can't be informed. Like, you gotta learn their names, and then the shit they voted for, and what that shit means, and what sneaky shit is hidden inside. Who has the time to know what this shit is about? And what's frustrating is, like, I try not to pay attention, and I'm still like, it's like a fucking nest of spiders. Where it's like, sometimes I feel like, oh good, we got rid of someone, and then they just pop back up like herpes. Like, I thought we got rid of you. Nope. Like, Mitt Romney, I thought we were done with him. He's in charge of some shit now. Rick Perry, one of the things he couldn't remember, he's in charge of that shit. I thought we got rid of that fucking vampire, but he just went back to his little shadow, and now he's back. It's a hard time, and I'm my politics are like to the left of nihilism. I don't give a fuck. That shit don't affect me, do you, boo-boo? It's like the left is getting real dirty, like they've lost their way, like they're doing the same shit. I'm like, what happened to integrity? And like people start calling people out on language, and I'm just like, who the fuck made you sheriff? Like, you're not into the term tranny? Wasn't your last post about spaghetti? Now you're a fucking moral authority? You're Mahatma fucking Gandhi? Wacky shit about food yesterday. And I gotta listen to your fuck... And it's like millennials... How does a generation with no social skills tell people how they should speak? Learn how to have a conversation, you cunty little fuck. Like, language is one of those things, you're just not going to get it right. Right? God didn't get it right. If he did, there wouldn't be contradictions in the Bible. Nobody calls him out on that shit. What I don't like about the left is now they're using sneaky tactics. I'm like, you can't co-opt evil. That's not what good guys do. Nobody ever slaveried a good cause. There was no Holocaust to peace on earth. Hitler tried it, but everybody said that shit was evil. It's hard because I have honest questions. Like, at what age do Asians learn how to be quiet? Because old Asians are fucking ninjas, but their kids are tyrants. I wish they'd shut the fuck up. Asians learn how to hit your kids, because they cry too goddamn much. I don't like it because I'm a comic, so it's like shit you can and can't talk about. But it's that cognitive dissonance between like right words and right actions. Like, you can say some stupid shit, that doesn't mean you support it. I'm going to close out on this joke, all right? You guys down for some really dark shit? Yeah. Remember, you clap for that. There was a guy that raped and murdered an infant. Okay. It's terrible. I don't support that. But it's really funny to examine the fact that he's also a stupid criminal. All right. He raped and then murdered a child. I don't know much about kids, but I assume a dead kid's a lot quieter than a being raped kid.
Oh, damn.
And then he got caught with the body. It's 6 weeks old. How do you not? You could sweep it under the rug. They really. He raped it first. Like, they make child-sized pans for the oven. If you can smoke a brisket, you can smoke a child to delicious warmness. The hard part is the accusations. Cause kids are like, did that child have an erection? You know, you hate to think that maybe it was a slutty baby that was asking for it. My name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night.
Ian Ellis, one more time.
Oh, they're leaving after that one. Way to go, Ian.
And I say, if we can control these personalities, if we can pick the personalities that people will respond to, or we can cultivate these personalities, then we can stay in control of the machine. It went from them being able to successfully do that to the machinery saying, we don't even have to cultivate personalities. We can cultivate personas. So it went from culture to the cult of personality to the cult of persona. It's gone from being, this is my art that reflects my history, my personal life, my struggles, my ambitions, my dreams, to this is my persona as it is attached to a product or a lifestyle or something that you can buy.
Two intertwined, many of them.
If there's no voice of dissent, if there's no imagination, earnestness, if there's no truth in what artists, the talented people do, if it's all about the gesture, it's telling people there's no room for your imagination. There's no use being imaginative. Follow the rules. If you see people as supposed to be imaginative people, creative people, not being that, I think that the long-term effect is that the masses in general just find themselves being less creative, less imaginative, and creativity and imagination are integral in creating change. When they submit themselves to certain forms of machinery, as television or radio, then it's a perfect opportunity for you to be suppressed. The format is predetermined, and it's pretty predictable. Everybody makes it like it's not that premeditated, you're being conspiracy theorist. And it's like, if it's not that premeditated, why is it so predictable? If it's not premeditated, how come it's so reliably uniform? Now the people who create culture have been bribed and co-opted, sometimes consciously and even worse, unconsciously, by these huge corporations to say the only way that we'll take your message to the mass is if you represent what we are comfortable with, seeing your community or seeing your demographic, which is a really kind of sterile terminology for people and a community. It's like, well, your demographic, we're comfortable with you representing this to them. We like it when we're comfortable with that energy. You know, you get guys like Dylan or Bob Marley, but those weren't that wasn't the aim. The aim was to make their most honest work. And because they did it, it just gets airborne. And it's something else. That's the thing about information, is that it's really, the truth is a form of magic. And it finds its way to people. Without a machine, without approval from the gatekeeper, how did that happen? It's just it.
Oh no, you're fake news and we're real news. No, we're fake news and you're real news. To dominate this, one of the ways to do it is to, as you were talking about before, the buttons present themselves. They're almost self-pushing buttons. So we have to push the buttons on him personally, make this as unpleasant personally for him, since that is what decides everything he does. So every time you see a tweet, subtweet him, swear words, send it right back at him, and if he doesn't see it, somebody who supports him will ruin their day. It's a psychological war, and the other part of it is to keep saying...
Here's just what I wanted to tell you guys.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop. Stop hurting America.
Okay, now let me,
and come work you. For us, because we, as the people.
How do you pay?
The people, not well.
Better than CNN, I'm sure.
But you can sleep at night. See, the thing is, we need your help. You're, right now, you're helping the politicians and the corporations, and we're left out there to mow our lawns.
You just said we're too rough on them when they make mistakes.
No, you're not too rough on them. You're part of their strategies. You're partisan, what do you call it, hacks.
For the first time, we're seeing what happened inside the mall during a stabbing attack.
The story is developing. Again, viewer discretion is advised. Seattle area mall. Police are there clearing the mall out now.
He stabbed or punched victims.
Suspect is still on the loose.
Right now, let's hear it for the very funny Ian Ellis.
Yeah!
This shit was great. I always like to think, like, when I get older, I'll be chilled out and relaxed. And he was like, fuck that shit. Fuck Walgreens, fuck my wife, fuck my daughter. I'm tired. Somebody, it's like praying for cancer. The greatest fucking thing that's ever happened yesterday. And I might be the only person that knows about it. You can't be excited enough for this goddamn story, okay? About my friend Lane. He once told me in a very serious story, I'm into two things, cartoons and skateboards. So don't bother me about doing any other shit. He also has mad bitches. He's a weird guy. He's like, I like cartoons, fucking, and skateboards. He also works at the Zoomies in Seattle, Washington, which is where this story takes place. Lane skates his ass into Zoomies. He's opening up, selling lanyards. Keychains and all the stupid shit you buy when you're a teenager. There's a food court around the corner. All right, Panda Express, Arby's, gyro plate, regular shit, right? An argument breaks out at the gyro counter. But he's furious about gyro-related... Pissed off at the price of two pitas, it might have been Paul. A dollar? Fuck you! It's too much meat. You might be thinking, how heated could this argument get? The customer reached around the counter, grabbed the dude, and stabbed him 9 times.
Oh, damn.
You were thinking about getting a gyro that day, forget about it. I don't know if you know how much blood is in 9 stab wounds. It takes at least 24 hours to meet OSHA standards and regulations. Where you can start slinging your meat. It's a whole lot of lamb going to waste. That's not the whole story. As soon as this happened, a guy pulls out a gun. And now everybody's thinking, thank God there's a hero. The only thing that stops a bad person with a gun is...
Good person
with a gun. That's not what this is. This is a new player. This is a second crazy person triggered by the first crazy person. Not related to him in any way. This is not a planned robbery. He just loses his shit, pulls out his gun, and starts pointing it at everyone. Stay away from me! Dude was so crazy that the guy with the knife was like, dude, it's not that serious. I know I just stabbed a guy over a gyro, but put that goddamn gun away. Chaos ensues. People are running everywhere except for the Asians. I don't know if you've ever seen an old Asian woman shopping. They have no idea what the fuck the rest of the planet is doing. They go their own way, they stop when they want to stop. And in the midst of everybody running around, they're going, no, you help me now. You're not close. I stay up to watch riot. You seven brother. My dude Lane, he went to protect the shop. He slammed down the gate wall, right? Just as he does that, a dude jumped in there and broke his nose in the fucking gate. which means he laid there thinking he was going to die, and his last thought was like, Zoomies betrayed me! No! Alright, my name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night.
All good things must come to an end. Books, naps, sandwiches. But at Arby's, you can put off the end with 2 euros for $6. Pita bread, 2 times. Twice as long with tzatziki sauce. But when the second euro ends, don't act sad. You knew this was coming. You knew the euros would end eventually. Arby's, we have the meat.
Stephen, I was thinking about this. You've been peddling fake news and alternative facts for years. Do you feel this new administration is infringing on your territory?
I do. Many of these kinds of developments begin to occur in many forms at once, at very high speeds. Then it becomes easy to perceive the pattern.
I think real fake news is being transparent that you're being fake. What people are describing as fake news now is just plain lying. You know, you create a complete fraudulent story without ever telling your audience that it is a fraudulent story. There's nothing artful or beneficial about that. It's just lying. It's just one of the vices.
When things happen relatively slowly, it's like still shots on a film. If you look at them one at a time, it's very slow. You don't see very much change. But project them at a reasonable speed, and the pattern of development becomes perfectly evident.
The Trump administration really has been stealing my thing. I mean, I actually said this on the show just last night, that I invented the over-the-top television personality who desperately wants to be loved, is willing to accept emotion over fact, and has a pet eagle. And Donald Trump put Iran on notice this week. I used to have an on-notice board where I would put things on notice, like the black hole at the center of the universe, or Iran, or anybody who upset me.
We are now living in a world where things change so rapidly that anybody can spot the configuration, the pattern of change. And we're living increasingly in a world of pattern recognition.
The speed at which the story would change was one of the most startling aspects of it to me. It used to be you wanted to do a show every night, so you wouldn't leave any of the berries on the bush, if you know what I mean. You could sort of talk about everything that happened today, and then tomorrow you'd have a fresh batch of berries to talk about. But then the pace of the campaign made it, you wanted a morning batch of scripts and an afternoon batch of scripts to see how the story had changed in the last few hours. By the end of this presidential campaign, and right now, the pace has somehow accelerated even more, as opposed to the power of executive orders. We have to have somebody in our writer's room looking at the news every minute before the show goes up to make sure that the big story hasn't completely changed moments before I go to record my show. And because I'm not really news, I've never had to work at this pace. I can't imagine what the pace is for actual news people who have to break the story or have to explain the story in some sort of in-depth, because we've gone from, like, go-kart to NASCAR.
Instead of just classified and isolated items, the whole speed-up has tended to make everything much more intelligible and understandable than in the past.
It's like the superpositioning of a quantum particle. You don't know where the news is at any given moment. There's such an enormous amount of uncertainty about what the story is or what the story means. There's so much chaos surrounding the news cycle, which I think is probably only to the benefit of the person who is generating the chaos, which is the president and his team, so that they can be the ultimate arbiters of the truth, because only they will know what is real or not. They will only know whether the chaos is planned or whether it is an art form being used to stabilize our view of reality, so that they can establish their own reality with their own will toward power.
Now that everybody's feeling nice and uncomfortable.
so many funny noises coming from the crowd, like over here, just like grunting and stuff. You guys should laugh. There you go. Give it up for yourselves, everybody. That was a really awkward silence, so I'm just trying to break it up. This lady over here was loving that last set. I heard you cracking up over there. All right, guys, give it up for your next comedian coming up to the stage, the very funny Ian Ellis.
Yay!
Woo!
Yeah.
Somebody's really excited.
Yeah.
Guys, don't be so mean to Dilbert. That dude's really funny. Like super evil Napoleon Dynamite. This is great.
Tell her to suck my dick.
I'm sorry, Mike. He hates that shit. He's got his whole life. A lot of cutie pies here tonight. That's exciting. I know Mike's like a sham wild to lady parts, but... Hopefully everybody doesn't. There was a girl bending over by the. Here's why I get to be a creep. she was stretching, and she's like, "I used to be a gymnast. So that's pretty hot." So I figured I should tell you guys that I'm married. Completely off the market, in case you were thinking about slumming it. Thinking maybe I could be somebody's mistake tonight.
Well, fuck.
If you're really into the movie Shrek, I might be for you. Those were the good old days, though. Now I gotta go home to my wife and wake her up. And be like, you're stuck with me. They're fighting over who gets to try and seduce me. You got the last one! I'm trying to give this pussy to charity. Might be a shooter. Let's prevent let's prevent some shit. I'll buy all your drinks if you sleep with Michael tonight. Dude could have a mule. You don't know what that dick looks like. You might have a candy stick. It could be the greatest ride of your life. Close your eyes and think about Channing Tatum. Channing, what is he? He had a big old dick like Mike. That's why he walks around like this. He's hard as shit all the time. Big old dick Dilbert. Big dick Dilbert, that's what they call him. Very popular blind widow. And the deaf. I have a lot of nostalgia, in case you couldn't tell by my old man sweater and my dad hat. Not for history, I think history stinks. Some people are like, make the country great again. Like when? Before AOL, you had to pay for porn. Like recent history, fuck that shit. Dudes that were kings, ruled over nations of men, they didn't have indoor plumbing. You can take a shower, sit on the toilet, jerk off to free porn, eat a cheeseburger. Fuck history. Time is now. Play some Angry Birds with my dick out. History, like, I used to think I was smart. Like, the world made sense. Now, I don't know what the, I think I'm fucking retarded. People are just humoring me. Like, just let them talk. They'll explode if you talk to them about it. Well, history's a weird one because, like, I went to school for anthropology and I studied all that shit and I knew about Egypt and history, and now they think aliens did all that shit. The fuck, that wasn't in any of my classes. But it's everything on the History Channel. If the aliens helped out, they made all this amazing shit, didn't show them how to make toilets. That's some slavery shit. Like, they didn't give a fuck about us. We should be scared if they come back. Doesn't sound friendly. Pooping is a basic necessity. If you're gonna advance some people, show them how to poop properly. Fuck, that's what life. I didn't even get to nothing. I am retarded.
I love you
though. Dude. Woo! Fuck you, I'm getting at least one more joke off before I pass.
Do yourself, homie.
I hate Trump. Like, I don't really understand it, because he's like, we gotta drain the swamp. But his draining the swamp is like, let's get rid of all these millionaires and replace them with billionaires. Cause they're moral, right? It's like, no, it's not an Ayn Rand novel. I want to talk about the news tonight. Like, I just wish I could say to the liberals, like, you can't co-opt evil. You never slavery a good cause. That's not something that you could do. Never mind, this wasn't my night to talk about this shit. All right, my name's Ian Ellis. I'll have you good night.
Ian Ellis, everybody. I hate when that happens. When I have jokes to tell, but I spend too much time talking about Michael McCabe's dick. That's happened to me before, too. It's annoying. But the good thing is we finally... Michael McCabe has a new stage name. Was it Big Dick Dilbert? Big Dick Dilbert. Give it up for Big Dick Dilbert.
Yeah.
Give it up for Ian Ellis. Awesome. All right, thank you. Next comedian.
Will you hold that? We're putting you in charge. So this is Michael. Do you want to... Let's do your shout-outs. What's your Twitter?
It's private.
You nerd. How are you ever going to get a follower?
I don't. I can't.
Because of your job.
Yep.
So I meant to talk about the news tonight. Instead, I just started roasting you the whole time, which I apologize about. Did you enjoy it?
Was it okay? I thought it was hilarious.
You don't hate me for it?
No. Because it's kind of... really funny at the end.
So I fucked up because my whole podcast tonight is that I was trying to talk about the news. Hold on a second. Trying to talk about the news. I got all this stuff clipped together and I didn't do my fucking jokes about the news. My podcast doesn't make any fucking sense. My point was, I was going to say, like, the news doesn't make sense to me anymore. Because, like, we don't focus on policies. Instead, we focus on the players. Like, I don't know what they're voting about. I just know somebody has dick pics on Twitter, somebody has a secret gay son, and somebody's having seizures. Like, and I feel like if people knew the issue, they could go like, oh, I'm getting screwed. Don't let them do that. But we don't get to make that decision because we're focused on people. This is worse than bombing. I'm just going to have you mean bug me. Doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican, it's who we're going to hold accountable. I want to talk about how I wish the media would find their voice already. Like, discernment doesn't follow trends. Who cares if they won't talk to you? Fuck them. Just tell the truth. That's your job. I appreciate your humor laughing at me.
No, I bet you think that's hilarious.
Well, my thing with the news is I'm like, you're supposed to be our advocate. Like, being a regular person stinks. You have fucking bills and birthdays and cars break down. It's like, you don't have time for this shit. And when they fuck it up, it's like... I was going to talk about how they're competing for attention. Because it's like, policy is not sexy. Like, how do you make that more interesting than Facebook? You know, like, it stinks that there's clickbait. But clickbait is like, we're trying to trick you into reading. That's how bad it is. That's how much we don't give a fuck. They're playing like, Trump, every notification I get is Trump has a new draft pick. I was like, is he setting up Congress or a football team? Anytime I hear like a budget hasn't been passed, I'm like, can we fire those motherfuckers tonight? Can we do that? Because this is ridiculous. Taxes are not allowed to be late. Get your shit together. You didn't know the budget was coming? You forgot? Oh, we gotta do that this year too? I thought we did that last year. Yeah, oh, they still need money? There's still kids that need teaching? Oh yeah, let's get on that. I always just assume it's like held up because these evil motherfuckers haven't figured out how to get their money or their leverage yet. Like, they're still trying to figure out how to exploit the budget before they can pass it. It's hard because it's like, how do you exploit kids needing how to learn? Like, they're not even old enough to vote. So you gotta just be trying to drain them of money like a fucking vampire. It's terrible. Get together. Pass the budget. I'm tired of school shutting down. It's almost like news as a mental illness at this point. I think I have some medicine. So I have some, like, three things I think might help save the world. First one is, I just want everybody to know, you gotta realize you can't co-opt evil. It doesn't work. Nobody ever slavery to good cause. It's not what good guys do. You gotta actually play by the rules. Second is, I really wish we could stay focused on things like the issues and justice instead of the people. Because it's not about Democrat or Republican or religion and science. It's about who are we going to hold accountable? Because if the answer is nobody, then none of our decisions mattered anyway. And finally, I'd like to end by just saying to the media, like, I really wish, you guys have been around a long time, you need to find your voice, okay? You're not supposed to be part of their strategy. Discernment doesn't follow trends. Give the facts room to exist. Have some courage. They're not supposed to like you. Like, being an average person stinks, alright? You got low wages and bills. You're just trying to make sure your kids don't get too messed up. And should they go to college, can you afford it? Are you upside down on your house? And then someone gets cancer and a tire goes flat. It stinks being a regular person. And you got a lot of stuff to worry about. And I don't have time to sort through the bullshit that's supposed to be what your job is. So just do your job. Just play your position. Stop trying to be famous, people, and just play your position. That's my final analysis on the news. All right.
The present is only faced in any generation by the artist. The present, the artist is prepared to study the present as his material because it is the area of challenge to the whole sensory life, and therefore it's anti-utopian. It's a world of anti-values. And the artist who comes in contact with the present produces an avant-garde image that is terrifying to the contemporaries.
If the natural conversation is always about politics, then politicians are the entertainment.
Trump's relationship with the truth is going to be of profound importance going forward, because any policy discussion has to begin with a shared sense of reality, and Trump's reality can change within a single sentence.
As the volume of information increases on legitimate news sources, and it's turned into a fire hose, they want someone to curate the day for them.
Right.
And because there's no way, you used to be able to read the morning paper and the afternoon paper and you knew the same as everybody else. But now as the volume of it increases, it's important that somebody curate it for you.
But you see, any form, when pushed to its limits, always reverses its characteristics, and information overload is a nice example.
A particular news story, like, absolutely comedically dead to rights. Like, we've got to deconstruct it and reconstruct it and all the jokes. And this has happened to us many times since the president has taken the oath of office, is that we'll get to the moment to do the show and I'll look at it and go, we can't do this now. We can't do this just because of what happened in the last few hours, and everything has to be thrown away, which I know in actual journalism is probably very common, but for what I do, it's new. You can usually ride the momentum of a particular news cycle enough to get you to the next crop the next day. It's just happening too fast now.
Violence is the quest for group or private attention. Without that interface, without that roughhouse, without that encounter with the world, you don't get an effect.
Since comedy always has to have a point of view, I mean, I don't think any joke can be considered neutral, no matter how, you know, basic or purient it is. Like, even slipping on a banana peel doesn't have a neutrality to it, because it's only funny if a rich man slips on the banana peel. In keeping with the fact that increasingly our news sources are punditry and not fact, that made our work closer to what you see on the news, and the news closer to what we do, and the 24-hour news cycle itself actually has led to less information and more opinion, because there's only so much news to go around, but you can say what it means or your opinion about it without adding $1 to the bottom line of a news channel. So that's a really long way of saying that Americans digest their news through late night comedy now, not just me, but everybody pretty much, because cable news specifically has become closer to entertainment. And the line was not blurred by us. It was blurred by cable news telling us the same amount, but spreading it out over 24 hours with opinion and graphics. The news of the day is the raw material with which you're making jokes. You care about the news and you care about comedy, but you never lose sight of the fact that it is comedy, or else you're, you know, people should just watch the news. For my show, there was an added layer of false construction of personality, that we would deconstruct the news like the Daily Show did in order to find opportunities for the jokes or the places to sort of make fun or mock hypocritical behavior. For my show, we would sort of do half as much deconstruction and then falsely reconstruct the behavior of a pundit on top of it. So there were slightly different games. Across all of these shows, since the very beginning of these shows, they've been about what's happening on a daily basis in America. Shows always reflect the sort of the country itself. Right now, all topicality is political because the biggest story possible is Donald Trump. These shows aren't always political, so they're not always partisan, but they're always topical. The more the big story is not politics, the less partisan any show may seem. Partisan only comes in if the topical story is a pure political story.
So tonight, we thought it would be useful to try and answer four basic questions. How did we get a pathological liar in the White House? Where are his lies coming from? Why do so many people believe him? And what can we possibly do about it?
First up, she is president and CEO of the polling company and campaign manager for you-know-who, Mr. Donald Trump. We thank her for being here. Kellyanne Conway is joining us.
Secretary of State and set up a private server, which is why we're having this entire conversation.
Right, you're not answering the question.
Slavikin Law lied about it. I am answering it.
Kellyanne, that's not what I asked. No one's questioning. No one is questioning the victory.
The FBI and other agencies.
Before we go off on that track, can I just keep us on the rails here for just a second?
Because you did not answer the question.
He thought.
What did he say?
That's
the question. What's the answer? And you did not answer the question. I know you like to pivot. I get it. And I want you to have the.
That's actually real news.
I think that nothing you're saying is false on that. I just think it's a distraction from the main issue.
Let's talk about Meryl Streep, by the way.
Okay, again, you're not answering the question. You did not answer the question.
Can
you answer it now? I'll let you complete it the way you want. Is the answer going to come?
You can't answer this question.
I think that Russia wanted.
I'll ask you a third time.
You can't stick to
what we're talking about now.
You have a 14% approval rating.
All I'm looking for is an answer to a simple question.
And Secretary Clinton has suggested they would like him to do.
I guess what you still haven't answered, though.
I'm going to go back to a question that you continue to deflect.
All right, Kellyanne, we're going to have to leave it there. All right, I'm sorry, Kellyanne.
Many governorships and senators.
We've run out of time.
Thanks for having me. Hold on.
You're so good at what you do.
As are you. That's it, you're so good.
I'm so verklempt.
Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that. I don't think you can prove those numbers one way or the other. There's no way to really quantify crowds. We all know that. You can laugh at me all you want. I'll just ignore it. I'm bigger than that.
All right. It's really so stupid.
I'll just ignore it. I'm bigger than that.
Hey, what's happening? This is Ian Ellis. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Please write about it, tweet about it, put it on Facebook. If you like what I'm doing, you're also going to like my dude, Felonious Monk. He's on The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore. And he has a YouTube channel called Stop It B. Go check those out. And my girl, Kimberly Marion, KB Marion. She was my co-host on the Laugh Factory episodes. My partner in crime. She has a YouTube channel called Unpopular Truths. It's The Ms. Khalifa. Or just search Kimberly Marion, Unpopular Truth. It's about 7 episodes up. Here's the audio from one of my favorite episodes. I just want you to check it out. And if you like it, please subscribe. Facebook about it. Share it. Repeat it. Let people know. KB Marion. She's the shit. All right, Mike.
Peace.
Shout out to Leroy. And free Wi-Fi. Gotta get that dude out. He locked up.
Unpopular truth. Prostitution should be legal already. Why haven't we legalized prostitution yet? Everything that we do, we actually sell the idea of sex. Hey, unpopular truth. It's your pussy. If you want to sell it, why aren't you allowed to sell it? Seriously. Because, we can sell everything up to the sexual act, but then when people want to go out and buy pussy, it's a problem. You get a motherfucker all aroused, And in a moment that they decide to stop using their right or left hand to please themselves, or a toy to please themselves, and they actually want the real shit, then they can't do it. What kind of bullshit is that? You can show people having intercourse, okay? You can show people touching, groping, kissing. You can sell a perfume with a half-naked woman in a commercial. You are selling the idea of sex. But when you're like, hey, that looks really good, let me go get some, you can't buy you none. Hey, maybe it's somebody's best skill. Think about it. There are some people who are terrible fuckers. Why can't a good fucker make a living off of it? I'm saying go with your strengths. Like, if you're good at sucking a dick, then why shouldn't you be able to make money off of it? If I saw a commercial for some fucking Heineken and I couldn't go out and buy a Heineken, I don't want to see a commercial for fucking Heineken. Huh? You look cool, suave, you're like, oh, I'm going to go get me that type of beer. And people can actually go out and buy that type of beer. Why can't you go out and buy you a brunette pussy? I'm asking. I just want to know. I don't think that's fair. We should be able to legalize pussy.
Yeah, here we go now. Bomba clot! Bang, bang! Bomba the ball! That's it, dude.
Cloud.
Come in town, see the city. There's a meeting in the studio. We're gonna rap now, but we're gonna eat cake. I'll eat it with a knife and fork. PewDiePie got beef. See your steak on the TV. Got mine on sale, no, I still eat. Hey, hey, hey. I said hey, hey, hey. I've been watching Dragon Ball since I was a Charlie, y'all. Now we on the Super Lord of Destruction. I said, hey, here we see the chopper. I'm going with the fighter now. Sip a double choke and I hit him with the pallet pound. Boom! I said, hey, hey, hey. I said, hey. Gotta get him passed now. Hit the Super Mega way. Everybody know him as a Moshi. Ain't no stupid. Hey, hey. Hey, 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 hey.
Statistically, I'm just paying the pussy right now. If anything of my life's experiences that I done went through, I haven't told my real story. Like, for just going in depth, but trying to make sure I just kill them with every part and every part, like line after line after line.
You like it? That's what you like it for. You go to a club and there are people singing along to words, and you don't know what the words are. And they're singing.
They made up the words.
They made up the words.
Hey, one more time for Darren Eyes, everybody. You guys, you're going to love this next comic. Super funny guy. Look up to him constantly. Yeah. Name's Ian Ellis. Give it up for him.
Yeah. You guys, her milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. She's going to make a great single mother. I say that shit to my wife all the time. I know she wants the baby more than she wants me, so I'm like, you're gonna have fun raising that. Keep running your mouth. I'm stupid. Like, I just had a realization about women today. There's a lot of ladies here. What happens when you date a lot is every chick that you date has a cuisine. See, my farts smell like dinner, so. Every relationship I'm in has its own funk to it. I realized today, I was like, oh, that was probably me. Shouldn't have made all those jokes about how her pussy stank. Turns out I can't process asparagus. It's weird times we're living in. I'm starting to think maybe I can't trust Trump. Nagging suspicion. Like, he's never had drugs or alcohol. I don't like people that don't smoke weed. I think everybody who's in charge should have to smoke weed at least once a week so you realize it's not that serious. All my angry decisions happen with my serious face on. Sometimes you just gotta fucking relax. We're learning tonight. We're growing. Power of friendship. You guys know who Future is?
Yeah.
Last night I got so high I started working on my rap album. Some mumble rap. I want you to know this mumble rap did not start with black people. It started with Nirvana. We contributed. Sure, blacks did it better. We contributed. Counts for something. When I was in high school, I know a guy that got into a gunfight. It was over some pussy. This dude had a girl and she slurped up my buddy. And he wasn't cool with it. He was tripping. So he told my buddy, after school today, I'm going to murder you. Showed him his gun. That's fucking stupid. You just report him. Hey, this guy with a gun here. Somebody arrest him. All day, fucking with him. After school, my buddy runs into him in the street. Guy reaches for his gun. My buddy just pulls out his gun. Bang, bang! Here's the thing about guns. I don't know if you ever shot one. You don't know where the fuck that bullet's going. There's one way I kind of sympathize with the police when they're like, why did you shoot 18 rounds? Because they didn't know where the bullets went until, like, the 17th round. So you got to keep fucking firing. You don't know where that shit's going. My buddy, bang, bang, turns around, starts running. Gets pulled over by a cop. Whoop, whoop. Police officer's like, you're suspicious? Black person? Why are you running? But he's like, oh, man. I just heard some shots fired over there. I'm just trying to get home and be safe. The officer said, get on out of here, buddy. I'm going to go check it out. But he ran all the fucking way home. Next day, runs into the dude at school, tells him the story. They started cracking up. They're friends to this day. It's the goddamn power of friendship. All right. My name's Ian Ellis. I love you. Good night.
Don't ever wanna trip trap in the trap. You ain't got
for the flipping flag. Canadian, they got geese and they fly back. Canada got all kinds of cuss words. New swears that would only Drake knows them. That's why he's cooler than us, even though he's not one of us. Not really black or white, he's just a powder puff. I called him out, y'all. Meek Mill can get it too. Flippy flap or high five a baby in front of you. Nicki Minaj, you know what I'ma do to you. Climb up in them lips and put a kid inside of you. Not a one, this just one between you and me. I'm gonna find a baby on the street and stick it in your vagina. I'm gonna push it in there like a watermelon. I'm gonna reverse break your hymen. I'm gonna beat that pussy up with a baby. That's what I'ma do to you, bitch. Hip it down, sipping on the flipping flame. Tupac, you know he ain't gonna stay dead for long. He coming back next week. Machiavelli, 7 theories in the taco steak. You know, it's all about the Doritos, Illuminati, we gotta confirm burritos. Big as your hand, I got keys in my pocket, y'all. Don't make me come and take the lunch money robbing you. Cause I'm big and fat, and I need to eat, and I don't think you do. So give me a fucking lunch money and a coupon too, and why don't you drive me over there? I'm spitting as I spit this verse. That's how fucking ill my dick is, y'all. Gonna stick a baby in that bitch. Who's in the hell is me? Buck, 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 blood gloves. I kill a vampire with my teeth.
I'm wondering if, when you're touring around, whether you've started to notice something, a kind of more political consciousness of the audiences.
It's superficial.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really believe that. It's as superficial as their musical consciousness. It's just another aspect of being involved in the actions of their peer group. One guy in the group says, hey, politics, and they go, yeah, politics. Or they go, Grand Funk Railroad, and they go, yeah, Grand Funk Railroad. It's the same thing.
And you don't see really any real change that's gone down?
Sure, I see a lot of changes. But I think that they're all temporary things, and any change for the good is always subject to cancellation upon the arrival of the next fad. And the same thing with any change for the worse. You have a nation of people who are waiting for the next big thing to happen.
You love to take shots at Fox News.
Yes, I do.
Over the years, you have called us a biased organization, mm-hmm. relentlessly promoting an ideological agenda under the rubric of being a news organization. A relentless, agenda-driven, 24-hour news opinion propaganda delivery system.
I realized early that the proper use of propaganda is a true art and one that remained practically unknown to the privileged class parties.
What do you think is power? Whips, guns, money? You can't turn men into slaves unless you break their spirit, kill their capacity to think and act on their own. Tie them together, teach them to conform, to unite, to agree, to obey. That makes one neck ready for one leash.
Propaganda in the war was a means to an end. The cruelest weapons were humane, if they brought quicker victory. And the only showy morality to be used was that which helped assure the dignity of freedom for the nation.
What is wrong with this country is not that we face problems that we have not faced before. We face a deficiency in our problem-solving mechanism. And the reason we face a difficulty in our problem-solving mechanism is that a good portion of this country has created an alternate universe.
Where should propaganda be directed? At the educated intellectuals or at the less educated masses? It must be aimed continuously at the masses alone.
I would love to do an interview where it's just sort of deconstructed the talking points of Iraq, sort of the idea of, is this really the conversation we're having about this war, that if we don't defeat Al-Qaeda in Iraq, they'll follow us home, that to support the troops means not to question that the surge could work, that what we're really seeing in Iraq is not a terrible war, but in fact, just the media's portrayal of it. So I wanted to just go through, like, is this really the conversation that we're going to be having about something as significant as this war?
They say that asking for a timetable or criticizing the president is not supporting the troops. Explain to me why that is supporting the troops less than extending their tours of duty from 12 months to 15 months, putting them in stop loss, and not having Walter Reed be up to snuff. How is it? How can the president justify that? How can he have the balls to justify that?
All I can say is that if you talk to these young men and women who are fighting, they'll tell you they think it's a worthwhile cause and that they're fighting for freedom.
The point of public relations slogans like support our troops is that they don't mean anything. They mean as much as whether you support the people in Iowa. Of course, there was an issue. The issue was, do you support our policy? But you don't want people to think about the issue. That's the whole point of good propaganda. You want to create a slogan that nobody's going to be against, and I suppose everybody will be for, because nobody knows what it means, because it doesn't mean anything. But its crucial value is it diverts your attention from a question that does mean something. Do you support our policy? And that's the one you're not allowed to talk about.
And all I'm saying, the overwhelming majority of them do. I hear from them all the time.
The majority of guys that I talk to say, the political scene is not my scene, I'm a soldier.
I talk to them all the time, my friend, and I hear from them all the time. They know. I know what war is like. I know what
you're saying to me.
And I'm telling you that they believe that they are fighting for somebody else's freedom, and the majority of them believe that.
I don't doubt
that. Now, you're entitled to your views,
but
the view of the majority of them is that they think they are doing the right thing, and their parents, who have also had them sacrificed, generally speaking, are proud of the service of their sons and daughters.
No one's saying that they shouldn't be proud of their service.
And I'm proud of them too, because
they're the best. This is a very unfair way to deal with this.
It certainly is. Because
it
certainly is.
Let me explain it this
way. Very unfair.
What I'm saying is, what's less supportive of them?
Are being told they're fighting a war.
Settle down for a second.
You settle down. That they're fighting a war that they lost. That's not fair to them.
What I believe is less supportive to the good people who believe they're fighting a great cause is to not give them a strategy that makes their success possible.
We now have a strategy.
Adding 10,000 people to quell Baghdad, add 350,000, and you might have a shot.
I don't know that strategy will succeed, but we do have a new strategy. It's a fact.
All I'm saying is you cannot look a soldier in the eye and say questioning the president is less supportive to you than extending your tour 3 months.
You
should be coming home to your family.
Every American.
I saw McCain shrivel. I mean, he's been on your show.
Well, he didn't believe me. I think anybody who's been in a POW camp for 5 years can take 8 minutes on The Daily Show. But
something happened. You saw it happen.
What you saw was evasive action. It wasn't shriveling. It was merely...
he dropped his head and you could actually see...
He stopped connecting and just looked at my chest and decided, I'm just going to continue to talk about honor and duty and the families should be proud and all the things that are cudgels emotionally to keep us from the conversation, but things that weren't relevant to what we were talking about.
It must appeal to the feelings of the public rather than to their reasoning ability.
The conception of democracy is the one that I mentioned. The bewildered herd are a problem. We've got to prevent their rage and trampling. We've got to distract them. They should be watching the Super Bowl or sitcoms or, you know, violent movies or something. Every once in a while you call on them to chant meaningless slogans like support our troops, you scare, you got to keep them pretty scared, because unless they're scared properly and frightened of all kind of devils that are going to destroy them from outside, you know, or inside or somewhere, they may start to think, which is very dangerous because they're not competent to think.
Propaganda's purpose is not scientific training of the individual, not to give details or to act as a course of instruction, but directing the masses' attention to particular facts, occurrences, and necessities. The art of propaganda consists in putting a matter so clearly and forcibly before the minds of the people that it creates a strong conviction in everyone. It is essential to success that propaganda reinforces the reality of the facts that are promoted, the necessity of what is being promoted, and the just or rightness of its character. All propaganda must appeal to the common people in tone and in form, and must keep its intellectual level to the capacity of the least intelligent person at whom it is directed. In other words, the intellectual level must be lowered as the mass of people it is intended to reach grows.
My problem is, it's become tribal. And if you have 24-hour networks that focus, their job is to highlight the conflict between two sides, where I don't think that's the main conflict in our society. That was the point of the rally, was to deflate that idea
that that's a real conflict, red and blue, Democrat, Republican. But I feel like there's a bigger difference between people with kids and people who don't have kids
right.
than red state, blue state.
The less science is involved and the more emotions are involved, the more complete the success will be. Understanding the emotional patterns of the great masses and using proper psychology to get their attention and touch their hearts is the true art of propaganda. The great masses' capacity to absorb information is very limited. They have very little understanding and they are very forgetful. For these reasons, any effective propaganda must be confined to very few points, and these must be expressed in simple stereotype formulas. They must be used repeatedly until the very last man cannot help but know their meaning instantly.
And when I say, you know, puppets making crank calls in front of me, I don't mean that to diminish comedy. I mean that that is not then reinforced through the next person. It's not a relay. And there is a amplifying effect to the relay.
What the people never understood was the first requirement for any propaganda activity, an intentionally biased and one-sided attitude toward every question discussed. It is the responsibility of propaganda to emphasize exclusively the one cause it represents and not to evaluate others.
The intention is to say that we've all bought into that the conflict in this country is left and right. Liberal, conservative, red, blue. And all the news networks have bought into that. CNN sort of started it. They had this idea that, you know, the fight in Washington is Republicans and Democrats. So why don't we isolate that and we'll stand back here and that's, you know, Democrats and Republicans will go at it. Red and blue staters will go at it. And what it does is it amplifies a division that I actually don't think is the right fight. But if what you're asking me is, do I believe that? What he's saying, that's what I believe? No. But what I do believe is both sides have their way of shutting down debate. And the news networks have allowed these two sides to become the fight in the country. And I think the fight in the country is corruption versus not corruption.
It must not objectively explore any truth that favors the other side or fairly weigh the options and then present the masses with a strict doctrine.
In political discourse, every term has two meanings. You got to start by recognizing that. So democracy has an official meaning, which is something like, you know, the ability of the public to take part in running their own affairs or something. But it also has a technical meaning, the one that's actually used. Something is a democracy if it's run by the business classes. If business runs it, especially business elements that are supportive of U.S. interests, then it's a democracy. If not, it's not a democracy. It doesn't matter. Nothing else matters, virtually. You'll check, you'll notice that this criterion works quite perfectly for identifying democracy. Same is true of the term peace process. It has a dictionary meaning. In the dictionary meaning, a peace process is some kind of process that's trying to lead towards peace. But it also has a technical meaning. The technical meaning, in its technical meaning, it refers to whatever the United States happens to be advocating at a particular moment. Whatever diplomatic initiatives the United States is advocating, that's the peace process. Notice it follows that it's a logical impossibility for the United States to be opposed to the peace process. That's a nice consequence. To prove that the United States is for peace, you don't have to do any laborious inquiry into the annoying facts, because it's true by definition. Since the peace process is whatever the United States is up to, the United States is always supporting peace. And the U.S. enemies are always opposed to peace because they're not supporting what the U.S. is up to, and by definition that means they're opposed to peace. You'll never find in the U.S. media, or for that matter in U.S. scholarship for the most part, any such phrase as the United States is opposing the peace process, or the United States is trying to block the peace process. You can't find such statements because they'd be logical contradictions.
It must not argue matters based on theoretical rules of justice. Propaganda must constantly endeavor to present only the aspect of truth that is favorable to its own side.
I think the brilliance of Fox is they've delegitimized the idea of editorial authority while exercising incredible editorial authority.
Right.
Which is, it's amazing. And they also have the game that They're all out to get us. So any criticism of them can be filtered through the idea that it's persecution. It's not. This isn't criticism, it's persecution.
The great masses of people are not made up of diplomats, professors of law, or even people capable of making a judgment based on reason and logic. They are human beings, indecisive and subject to doubt and uncertainty. The moment our propaganda admits even the faintest glimmer of justice is due to the other side, seeds of doubt have been planted, and they will begin to question whether our own side is just. The masses cannot tell where the enemy's wrongs end and their own begin. In these cases, they become uncertain and suspicious.
Everybody picks people to give themselves cover. You always like the most valuable person in the world is a turncoat.
They never allowed two-sided arguments which might have raised doubts. They realized the broad masses' emotional state was primitive. They proved this by publishing horror story propaganda that met the masses on their level. They ruthlessly and brilliantly reinforced their moral position, which strengthened endurance at the front despite great defeats. Propaganda must limit itself to saying a very little, but saying it a lot.
The problem with 24-hour news cycle is it's built for a very particular thing, 9/11. Other than that, there really isn't 24 hours of stuff to talk about.
Right.
In the same way. Now, the problem is, how do you keep people watching it? OJ's not going to kill someone every day. So that's gone. So what do you have to do? You have to elevate the passion of everything else that happens that might even be somewhat mundane and elevate it to the extent that this is breaking news. This is developing news. This is breaking developing news. The aggregate effect of that is that you begin to lose the lexicon. You begin to lose any meaning of what breaking news means, or urgent, or look at this, or dangerous. That was our montage at the end.
The purpose of propaganda is not to be a constant source of interesting diversion for unconcerned, smart gentlemen, but to convince the masses.
When you have people on for just knee-jerk, reactionary talk, you know what's always great, a great exercise? Look at the difference between the top story on cable news and the top story in the newspapers. But the bias of the mainstream media is towards sensationalism, conflict, and laziness.
Well, I think what degraded the institutions are probably financial culpability, are probably decision-making that occurred based on pure instinct of putting news into the entertainment facilities so that you've created what degraded it is 24-hour news operations that are built for catastrophic events, but within the absence of those catastrophic events, have to gin up urgency so that they can continue to get the kind of eyeballs. And the way that you gin up urgency is through conflict and sensationalism. So what degrades their credibility is their own business models.
The masses are slow moving, and it may take a long time before they are ready to even notice something. Only constant repetitions of the simplest ideas will finally stick in their minds. Any variations in the propaganda message must never change the purpose of the propaganda, but should always reinforce the same conclusion. The main slogan must be highlighted from various angles, stated in different ways, but every discussion must end with the conclusion itself. Only then can and will propaganda produce a unified and concentrated effect. The success of any advertising, whether in business or politics, depends on perseverance and consistency. The enemy war propaganda was a perfect model because it was restricted to a few points, targeted exclusively at the masses, and continued with tireless perseverance.
We look at the absurdity of this system provides us the most material, and that is best served by sort of the theater of it all.
When those basic ideas and methods of presentation were seen to be solid, they were used throughout the war without even the slightest change.
Do you like interviewing politicians?
No. I despise it. As most sentient creatures, I think, would. Imagine having to interview salespeople. They're salespeople. They live in a world of denial and conjuring. It's very strange. It's very strange to talk to people who have lost their awareness that that's what they're doing. At least with a salesperson, they'll every now and again go, look, I shouldn't be telling you this. It's a piece of crap.
At first, the propaganda seemed idiotic in its use of disrespectful statements. Later, it became unpleasant. Then, it was finally believed.
There is a premise out there. The premise is we are all on this kind of axis of left-right. Maybe there's a different premise. And I don't mean that in the way of partisanship. I mean it in the way of they cover politics. Politics is a Democratic and Republican game. It is left and right. I think the conflict that would be more appropriate to divide a news channel to would be corruption, non-corruption.
Where these folks live, Bullshit Mountain. And on Bullshit Mountain, our problems are amplified and our solutions simplified. And that's why they won't work. It's a question of putting our issues in context.
No. Bullshit is everywhere. Are the kids still in here? We'll deal with that later. Bullshit is everywhere. There is very little that you will encounter in life that has not been in some ways infused with bullshit. Not all of it bad. Your general day-to-day organic free-range bullshit is often necessary. Or at the very least innocuous. Oh, what a beautiful baby. I'm sure he'll grow into that. That kind of bullshit in many ways provides important social contract fertilizer. It keeps people from making each other cry all day. But then there's the more pernicious bullshit, your premeditated institutional bullshit designed to obscure and distract. Designed by whom? The bullshitocracy. It comes in three basic flavors. One, making bad things sound like good things.
Here's how I would approach that issue as a statistician or a political scientist, or no, as a psychologist, which I'm not, is how abstract you handle the race thing. In other words, you start out, and now y'all aren't quoting me. You start out in 1954 by saying nigger, nigger, nigger. By 1968, you can't say nigger. That hurts your backfire, so you say stuff like force busing, states' rights and all that stuff. And you get so abstract now, you're talking about cutting taxes and all of these things you're talking about are totally economic things, and the byproduct of them is blacks get hurt worse than whites. And subconsciously, maybe that is part of it. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if it is getting that abstract and that coded, that we're doing away with the racial problem one way or the other. You follow me? Because obviously sitting around saying we want to cut taxes, we want to cut this, and we want is much more abstract than even the busing thing. And a hell of a lot more abstract than nigger, nigger, you know. So any way you look at it, race is coming on the back burner.
Organic, all-natural cupcakes. Because factory-made sugar oatmeal balls doesn't sell. Patriot Act. Because are you scared enough to let me look at all your phone records, Act? Doesn't sell. So whenever something's been titled Freedom, Family, Fairness, Health, America, take a good long sniff. Chances are it's been manufactured in a facility that may contain traces of bullshit. Number two. The second way, hiding the bad things under mountains of bullshit. Complexity. You know, I would love to download Drizzy's latest Meek Mill diss. Everyone promised me that made sense. But I'm not really interested right now in reading Tolstoy's iTunes agreement. So I'll just click agree, even if it grants Apple prima nocte with my spouse. Here's another one. Simply put, banks shouldn't be able to bet your pension money on red. Bullshitly put, it's, hey, this. Dodd-Frank. Hey, a handful of billionaires can't buy our elections, right? Of course not. They can only pour unlimited anonymous cash into a 501c4 if 50% is devoted to issue education. Otherwise, they'd have to 501c6 it or funnel it openly through a non-campaign coordinating super PAC with a quarter. I think they're asleep now. We can sneak out. And finally, it's the bullshit of infinite possibility.
These bullshitters cover their unwillingness to act under the guise of unending inquiry. We can't do anything because we don't yet know everything. We cannot take action on climate change until everyone in the world agrees gay marriage vaccines won't cause our children to marry goats who are gonna come for our guns. Until then, I say teach the controversy. Now, the good news is this. Bullshitters have gotten pretty lazy, and their work is easily detected. And looking for it is kind of a pleasant way to pass the time. Like an eye spy of bullshit. So I say to you tonight, friends, the best defense against bullshit is vigilance. So if you smell something, say something.
Let me issue and control a nation's money, and I care not who writes the laws.
It is ebb and flow, tidal gravity. It is ecological balance. You are an old man who thinks in terms of nations and peoples. There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. Petrodollars, electrodollars, multidollars, Reichmarks, rims, rubles, pounds, and shekels. It is the international system of currency which determines the totality of life on this planet. That is the natural order of things today. That is the atomic and subatomic and galactic structure of things today. There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide, and Exxon. Those are the nations of the world today. What do you think the Russians talk about in their councils of state? Karl Marx? They get out their linear programming charts, statistical decision theories, min-max solutions, and compute the price-cost probabilities of their transactions and investments, just like we do. We no longer live in a world of nations and ideologies, Mr. Beale. The world is a college of corporations, inexorably determined by the immutable bylaws of business. The world is a business, Mr. Beale. It has been since man crawled out of the slime. And our children will live, Mr. Beale, to see that perfect world in which there's no war or famine, oppression or brutality. One vast and ecumenical holding company for whom all men will work to serve a common profit, in which all men will hold a share of stock. All necessities provided, all anxieties tranquilized, all boredom amused.
You know, whenever you're exposed to advertising in this country, you realize all over again that America's leading industry is still the manufacture, distribution, packaging, and marketing of bullshit. High-quality bullshit, world-class designer bullshit, to be sure. Hospital-tested, clinically proven bullshit, but bullshit nonetheless. And it always amuses me that so many people seem to think that bullshit only comes from certain sources. You know, advertising, politicians, salesmen. Not true. Bullshit is everywhere. Bullshit is rampant. Parents are full of shit. Teachers are full of shit. Clergymen are full of shit. Law enforcement people are full of shit. The entire country is completely full of shit. In fact, this country was founded by a group of slave owners who told us that all men are created equal. That is what's known as being stunningly, stunningly full of shit. And you know, I think... And I think people show their ignorance when they say they want politicians to be honest. What are these people talking about? If honesty were suddenly introduced into politics, it would throw everything off. The whole system would collapse. And I think deep down the American people know that. The American people like their bullshit out front, where they can get a good strong whiff of it. That's why they reelected Clinton. Listen. Clinton might be full of shit, but he lets you know it. Dole tried to hide it. I'm an honest man. Bullshit. Bullshit. People don't believe that shit. Clinton said, "Hi, I'm full of shit, and how do you like that?" And the people said, "At least he's honest. At least he's honest about being full of shit." It's like the business world. All businessmen are completely full of shit. Just the worst kind of people you could ever want to run into. Businessmen. And the proof of it is, they don't even trust each other. They don't trust each other. When a businessman is negotiating a deal, the first thing he does is to automatically assume that the other guy is a complete lying prick who's trying to fuck him on the deal. So he has to do everything he can to fuck the other guy a little bit harder and a little bit faster. And then, when it comes to dealing with customers, that's when you get the big smile. That's when you get the big smile. Businessman always has that big smile on his face as he carefully positions himself directly behind the customer and unzips his pants and services the account. We specialize in customer service. You heard that? Now you know what it means. Whoever coined the phrase, "let the buyer beware," was probably bleeding from the asshole. Then you have advertising. Advertising is the businessman's cheaply dressed $2 blowjob. Advertising sells you things you don't need and can't afford that are overpriced and don't work. And they do it by exploiting your fears and insecurities. And if you don't have any, they'll be glad to give you a few by showing you a nice picture of a woman with big tits. That's the essence of advertising. Big tits. Threateningly big tits. And speaking of big tits, what about show business? Show business, completely dishonest, corrupt, and full of shit. But in a nice way. Plenty of expensive drugs and perverted sex. If you're going to be full of shit, might as well enjoy your work. Then you have the media. Not just the news media, let's include them all. The media are almost literally exploding with bullshit. Because they're located right at the crossroads of all the other bullshit. The media are made up of equal parts advertising, politics, business, public relations, and show business. These people are sitting right at Bullshit Junction. There's enough bullshit in the media for Texas to open a branch office. And you still have enough left over to start 2 law firms and a Christian bookstore. Because, folks, I gotta tell you, when it comes to bullshit, truly major league bullshit, you have to stand back in awe of the all-time heavyweight champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. Organized religion. It's no contest. Religion easily has the best bullshit story of all time. Think about it. Religion has convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a list of 10 specific things he doesn't want you to do. And if you do any of these things, He will send you to a special place of burning and fire and smoke and torture and anguish for you to live forever and suffer and burn and scream until the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you. He loves you, and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, and all-wise. Just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions and billions of dollars. They pay no taxes, and somehow they always need money. You talk about a good bullshit story. If I may be permitted a small pun, holy shit. Holy shit.